Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Well, once again today, I want to thank you for coming this way and joining us in service. I appreciate your attendance. This morning, I would like to ask you to turn in God's Word to John chapter 17, and we'll begin reading with verse 25. John chapter 17 and verse 25 this morning. While you're finding your place, maybe you have a word of testimony, a praise report, something you would like to share this morning. If you do so, now's an opportunity for you to share that. All right, John chapter 17, and we'll begin reading with verse 25. God's Word says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. May God add blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. As we look at God's Word, we see today the closing of the great priestly prayer. And what a closing it is. As I began studying this and looking over it, the longer I stayed in it, the longer I needed to stay in it. My, what a blessing it was to look into Jesus' words as He closed out this prayer. There are some things in it this morning that I want to share with you, though. Some things that not only were pertinent to Jesus and His disciples and those apostles that were following Him then, but they are just as pertinent, just as important, and just as necessary in our lives today. First, notice when Jesus starts this closing, He says, O righteous Father. It is very easy to just read right through that and keep right on going. But there's something very important about those three words. They carry with it something very deep. They carry with it a picture, an image of who God is. And with that, I want to ask you this morning, what kind of image do you have of God? When you hear the name of God, when you hear God mentioned in the Word, in the Bible, when you hear it preached, what is your image of God? What comes to mind? What perception do you have? Some people have a perception of God being this grandfather type figure that is sitting on the throne, snoozing away most of the day, sitting up there just as comfortable and as idle as he can be, never giving a second thought to what's going on down here on earth in his creation. Other people have an image of God that is agnostic. In other words, they have an image of God that says, well, He may be there, but I can never know Him and He can never know me. There are others that will have different images of who God may be. Some see God as an all-loving God, someone that would never send someone to hell, someone that would never condemn or judge anyone. There are a lot of people that have a lot of different perceptions of God. But Jesus gives us a very vivid perception of who He is in those three words, O righteous Father. When we see that opening word, O, and that's what it is. It is an opening word. It is not just a letter. In the Old English, that word O means the same thing as our word, ah. It is a reverence. It is an awesome view, an awesome picture of something. We look at something and we say, ah, isn't it wonderful? Ah, isn't it beautiful? Ah, isn't it inspiring? That is what that word, oh, means. Jesus is saying to God, oh, my wonderful, gracious, loving Father that is in heaven. Then Jesus speaks of His righteousness, the holiness that God has. He cannot sin. He cannot be in the presence of sin. That righteousness was imputed to Jesus through the incarnation. And that incarnation comes up next when Jesus refers to Him as Father. That is a Greek word called pater. That is where we get our word parent. It also means much more, though. Not only is God the parent figure of Jesus and the parent figure of all creation and the parent figure of every born-again Christian, He is the creator of everything that is. The world and every person, every individual, every tree, every speck of dust that's in the air. But the word to describe this parent is Father. And that speaks of Jesus' relationship with God. A father-son relationship. That relationship is a relationship that you and I share today if we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. If you are saved today, you have that relationship with God. And our text is going to prove it. That is the image and the perception of God that Jesus put forth to everyone that would listen, to everyone that would read, to everyone that would desire an understanding of who God is. Jesus gives right there in the very first three words of this closing statement a very vivid picture of God. Then He comes across with a statement. Statement that should catch all of us by the heart. The world hath not known thee. Jesus Himself pleased to God that the world doesn't know Him. And that the world, as it's spoken of there, is not just a physical creation, but it is a heart relationship. It is folks who know about God. People who know about God, but they choose to not know Him. There are people today that are sitting in churches around the world who know about God, but they choose to not know Him. They do not know Him. As Jesus said, there are those in His day. It hasn't changed any. People haven't changed any. There is a sin nature that is imputed to each one of us when we are born, and that sin nature keeps you and I separated from knowing God until we find and meet with Jesus Christ, and He calls us to be saved, to be born again by faith through Jesus Christ, and to have that relationship established to come to the point of knowing Him. Until that happens, we don't know God. We may know about God. We may know intellectually who He is. We may have been in our Bible our entire life. We may have read over and over and over again and again and again. And we may be able to quote the Bible chapter and verse. But until we have that relationship established, we don't know God. There are lots of people walking around this morning who do not know God. And with that comes the challenge to the church. We have a challenge. We have an opportunity to reach these people. We have an opportunity to present Jesus Christ to them. We can't make them take Jesus. We can't make them get saved. I can't save them. You can't save them. But bless God, we can put Jesus in front of them. We can love them enough to put the Savior in front of them and let the Savior have a touching hold upon their heart. And if they choose to push away, and if they choose to leave this world without knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that's between them and God. But let's do our job, church. Let's put Jesus in front of folks. Let's love them enough to put Jesus out there. And that's where we keep going. Notice the next thing Jesus says, but. That is a very interesting word in the English language. It means that there is something getting ready to happen that is in contrast to what's already been told. Those that don't know Jesus have already been established. Those that don't know God have already been established. But Jesus says, I have known thee. Jesus says, I have a relationship with you, Father. I have that relationship with you that I can carry over and I can give to others. And because I have known you, these that are here present with me know that you have sent me. The 12, or the 11, I guess I should say, that were there present with Jesus at this priestly prayer, they knew that God had sent Jesus into the world to save the world. Jesus says earlier in John's Gospel, remember we covered it very early on, Jesus had come to save the world, not condemn it. I've said before, and I want to reiterate this again, Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He said it himself. Why didn't he come to condemn the world? Some people want to say, hey, that proves the point. Jesus is not going to let anyone go to hell. No, it doesn't. That doesn't prove anything. What it does prove is that Jesus himself doesn't have to condemn the world because the world was already condemned when Jesus came. It was already lost. It was already on its way to an eternal hell. It always has been. People are condemned from the time that they are born, spiritually speaking, because they are separated from God. Jesus came to save the world. He came to make that connection. He came to make that redemption. He came to put in our hearts the opportunity to be known by God as a child, as His child. We have that opportunity. We have that blessing in our heart this morning. If you are saved and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved this morning, you have something to shout about. You have something to praise God for. You have something to brag about. You have something to boast about. It isn't of you, it is of Jesus Christ who has saved your soul. Lift Him up. Glorify Him. Let the folks out here in the world know that there's something different. There's something better than going to the bars on Main Street at 10 o'clock in the morning. There's something better than hanging around waiting for the grocery store to start selling beer and booze so you can put together your tailgate party for the football game so you can watch those worthless characters not stand up for the national anthem. There's something better than all of that. And it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And He tells, He's there in that prayer, and He says, I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. If you know Jesus today as your Lord and your Savior, you know in your heart He is the Son of God. You know in your heart that He died on that cross to redeem you. And you also know that if He will redeem you, He will redeem others. They just need to know about Him. They just need to know that He has been sent. They need to know that He is there. They need to know that all of this is going on for them, for their benefit. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God loved us that much. Not just you and not just me because of who we are. He loved us because of who we weren't. He loved us because of what we needed. And not only did He love us because of what we needed, He provided what we needed through Jesus. And then in verse 26, we see Jesus' declaration. He declares unto them His name. But Jesus continues on. He continues on and says, and will declare it. Jesus knew. He knew His time was coming. Jesus knew it was just a matter of hours before He was going to leave this world physically, and then He was going to be reunited with the Father in eternity. He knew that time was coming. But Jesus made a declaration that not only was He going to declare the name of God, the sovereignty of God, the righteousness of God, the awe of God, God's relationship as the Father. And not only was He going to continue to declare it right up to the very end, but He was going to continue it on through the ages. He was going to continue it through His death, burial, and resurrection as He lives inside of our hearts and inside of our lives through our salvation. When we look at Jesus right up to the point of the cross where He says, "Tetelestai," when He says, "It is finished," when we look at that right up to that point, He is declaring God. He is declaring the presence, the person, the reality of who God is. He's declaring it to everyone around Him. The two thieves that were hanging beside of Him. God was declared to them through Christ. God was declared to them by His very presence there. By the testimony of those around Him. By the testimony of the guards that were handling Him. By the testimony of the Jews, of the Pharisees who were there making fun of Him. By the testimony of His love. By instead of calling down legions of angels to free Him and be vindictive of what was going on, He took what was there and He loved them in spite of themselves. He loved them. And Jesus is still loving people today in spite of themselves. He loved me in spite of myself. He loved you in spite of yourself. He loves these folks out here in the world this morning in spite of themselves. The only thing they need is they need to hear Jesus declared to them. And that is the job of the church. It's not just the job of the pastor and the preacher. It's not just the job of the deacon or the Sunday school teacher. It's the job of the body of Christ. The preaching and the teaching of God's Word is to encourage you, to strengthen you, to edify you, and to prepare you for the ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 will fill in those blanks. I encourage you to go there and read that sometime. We are to be prepared for the work of the ministry, and then we are to engage that work. That is the declaration of Christ. That is the declaration of this high priestly prayer. He is putting into place the key pieces that need to go together to establish the body of Christ, the church that will be anointed on the day of Pentecost, so that it can move forward. When He says, "We'll declare it," it takes place at that point where He was in His prayer, and it continues through the ages to where we are today, and it will continue on beyond this to the point of where God calls His church home and begins the tribulation. And what is it that He's going to declare? What is it that we should be declaring? The love wherewith. That word "wherewith" is an old English word that simply means "which is." The love which is, or which thou hast loved me, may be in them. The love that God showed to Jesus Christ is the same love that sits inside of each one of you today. That same love is the love that redeemed you. That same love is the love that's churning inside of your heart to share Jesus with someone. And if you're saved today, that churning and that desire in your heart is there. You may suppress it. You may hold it back. You may even deny it. You may intellectually talk it away and speak it down, but if you're saved today, that desire is burning in your heart to tell someone about Jesus. Christ Himself just said so. The love that has been, that is in Him may be in them. Jesus spoke it. It's there. We may try to deny it. We may try to squelch it. We may try to silence it. We may try to push it to a side. We may try to do anything and everything to avoid working with it, dealing with it, or handling it. But the love of God is working and churning in your heart and in your life. and it is a love of God that is moving you to share Him with someone. So why not just go ahead and ask God for the strength? Ask God for the wisdom. Ask God for the authority. Ask God for the encouragement to know how to share Jesus with those who know Him. Somewhere in your day today, you're going to be in the presence of someone that needs to know about Jesus. Somewhere at work tomorrow or in your daily routine tomorrow, you're going to be in the presence of someone that needs to know about Jesus. Somewhere, some way or another, and during the course of the week, God is going to put you in front of many people that need to know about Jesus. Now the question comes to the church member, what will you do when God puts you in front of that person? Will you share? Or will you just walk away? Jesus says you've been prepared. Jesus says you've been equipped. Jesus also says at the close of this passage that I in them, that He is in us. When we are saved, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Being indwelt with the Holy Spirit, knowing that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the triune Godhead. They are one in three. They are the same, but yet existing in three individual persons. Jesus is in us. He dwells in our heart. What are we going to do with Him? I ask at the beginning of this message, what is your perception of God? I hope you have the biblical perception of God down pat right now. But then comes now we come to the conclusion and the closing and another question. What are you going to do with it? Christ is in you. The love of God is in you. The desire is in you to share that with others who need to know Him. The world has already been established and has been reconciled right here. The world does not know Him. So we know there are people that need to know. And we know that we are equipped to tell them. And we know that we are called to tell them. We know that we have been sent to tell them. Will we tell them? That's a question each one of us has to answer. And I'm not saying that we go out and we start hunting people. God puts us in places where we have those folks around us who need Christ. Will we respond in a godly manner? Will we respond in a way that lifts up Christ? Will we respond in a way that presents Jesus to others that are lost? Will we give the proper perception of who God is? Or will we give a perception to others that He is just a God that doesn't really care about them? That they don't matter to Him? What will we do with God? And how will we let Christ guide that in our life? Those are some serious questions that come into the church and come into the lives of the believers. Questions that require us to answer them. Questions that need to be dealt with. And this morning as I close, I want to ask you to deal with them. If you need to ask God for strength, ask Him for strength. If you need to ask God for wisdom, ask God for wisdom. If you need to ask God for forgiveness and repentance in the way that you've handled Him previously, ask God. Let Him have His way in your life this morning. And as you do, I promise, He will move and He will work and He will put things back together in your life where you are where you need to be, in order to accomplish what He needs to have accomplished through you. And He needs you. He wants you to be a vessel that He can work through. He wants that in all of our lives. You're that important. You're that necessary. God could speak to people through rocks if He wanted to. But He chose to speak through us. That's how deeply He loves us. That's how deeply He wants us involved in His work and in saving the lost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we're bowed before You today, we're asking that You would examine our lives. Examine every life of every individual sitting before You in this sanctuary. Heavenly Father, anyone that may hear this message, examine their life. Dear God, convict us to come before You, to submit ourselves to You. And dear God, to help us to grow. Help us to come to a strength and an understanding and an encouragement to take Your word out and take it out in a testimony of what You have done in our lives, what You have done in my life, what You have done in the lives of others in our families and in our neighborhoods. Heavenly Father, help us to carry that testimony out so that the world can see who God is and who Christ is. What a loving God You are and what a redeeming Savior He is. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would convict us to be submissive to You, convict us to be obedient to You, convict us to be the body of Christ that You've saved us to be. In Jesus' name I pray.